text from Mark's Gospel. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Last week, I was blessed to be able to worship with David's family at the church where he grew up in Kansas City, Kansas. And it was a nice break to be able to just sit and worship instead of leading worship. The pastor also told a great story that I'm going to steal for our sermon today. He introduced us, I had never heard of these islands, to a group of rocky islands called the Diomede Islands. They're located in the middle of the Bering Strait between mainland Alaska and Siberia. Have you heard of these islands? Though the islands are only about 2 miles apart and clearly in a single group, they are separated by the international date line, which also marks the international border between Russia and the United States. Big Diomede is owned by Russia, and Little Diomede is owned by the United States. I don't know how we thought that was okay for the big one to be Russia and the little one to be ours, but I'm sure we'll fight over that at some point. Additionally, Big Diomede is 23 hours ahead of Little Diomede owing to that international date line that passes between them. Because of that, they are sometimes called Tomorrow Island and Yesterday Island, respectively. And since the waters in between the islands are usually frozen in winter, on New Year's Eve, you can literally have 1 foot in yesterday and 1 foot in tomorrow as you make the short walk between the two. Now, you can imagine this pretty remote area was a pretty popular place during the last millennium transition. Apparently, Russia and the United States reached agreements to provide special visa guidelines so that people could spend that transition between 1999 and 2000 with 1 foot in yesterday and 1 foot in tomorrow. A new year seems to always bring up longings like that. Reaching the end of 1 year, we take stock of things done, of things not done. Usually, we focus more on those things not done. And getting into a new year, we make promises that this year, things are going to be different. We set those resolutions. The fitness centers and the gyms get full of people working to get in better shape. We're going to eat less. We're going to stop drinking, stop smoking, stop coffee, soft drinks. We're going to watch less TV. We're going to get off social media. We're going to complain less. We're going to be positive. We're going to turn off the news. We're going to save money. We're going to spend less. We're going to work on caring more for our spouse, our children, our family. We're going to do more good deeds. We're going to give more. And we think, just by saying those things, making those promises to ourselves, we're going to be able to do them. We seek that Diomede Island, that place where we can let go of yesterday and move into tomorrow as easily as walking across a date line. And we do it year after year. And every year, we wonder why we can't do it. We usually end up feeling worse about ourselves because of that failure. Every year. Our main problem is that we're using the wrong event to try and motivate us. The transition between December the 31st and January 1st is random when you think about it. It's just a calendar change. We could just as easily try it any other day, and we'd probably get the same result. But there really is an event, a monstrous moment, a motivating force that can make a difference in our lives. It takes the form of a power, a savior, a redeemer, one that offers real possibilities for hope and for change. If you really want to walk into this new year differently, walk into it with God, with Jesus, instead of with those resolutions. We see that kind of dynamic in our gospel story for today. Somehow, out of the blue, we meet this character named John. He's an odd duck, really. We hear he eats locusts and wild honey, that he wears clothes made of camel's hair. But obviously, people are drawn to him because they're finding him, even though he's hanging out way out in the wilderness. The people around him, they're looking for something different in their lives, just like we are. They're willing to leave the comfort of their homes. They're willing to take this risk to go into the wilderness. They want change in their lives, and they're figuring it might be possible from this crazy-looking God who's speaking about helping you change your heart and your life, helping you find forgiveness for your sins. John is their New Year's Eve guy, and they're hoping he'll help them make the walk from the failures of yesterday to the hopes of tomorrow. But John's telling them it's not going to be him who leads them in the right direction. He's just trying to point them to the one who really can make a difference in their lives. Jesus is the one who can help them find what they're looking for. And let's look at Jesus in this scene. Did you ever think about the fact that this is the gospel writer Mark's version of the Christmas story? Whereas Matthew begins with Jesus' family tree, with Mary and Joseph and the wise men, Luke tells us about the link between John the Baptist's family and Jesus' family, describes the manger and the shepherds. John overwhelms us with this cosmic word of God and how all things came into being through this word. But here's Mark introducing us to Jesus by throwing us right into this crowd of people looking and hoping for change in their lives. And Jesus, he's just right there with them, one of them. He's not doing anything. He's not saying anything. We can picture him just kind of getting in line with everybody else, waiting his turn, surrounded by these people who are feeling lost and doubtful and overwhelmed. And when his turn comes, when he emerges from the water, he's given a vision. We don't even know if anyone else in the crowd sees us. We're not really told that. For Jesus, he sees the heavens torn apart. He sees the Spirit descend like a dove on him, and he hears this voice: "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." And that's should begin for us as well. Because that moment when we're reminded who Jesus is, that he belongs to God, and that God is blessed by him, makes everything possible for Jesus and for us. It's the beginning, it's the middle, it's the end of the story. It's yesterday and today and tomorrow, all wrapped up in one picture. You belong to God. You are my beloved. I'm ready to move heaven and earth for you. And that means everything. So as you come to this random calendar change, I invite you to begin anew. Not with resolutions about what you're going to do to make your life better. I invite you to walk across that path between yesterday and tomorrow, not with pledges and promises to let go of this or take on that. Instead, I invite you to start today, every day, remembering just one thing, just one. You have been gently and wonderfully and magnificently made. You belong to God. That means everything. That means you really can change your direction. Not because of something you can do, not because of your willpower, but because God's desire is for you to have peace and fulfillment in your life. That means you really can do things differently. Not because you've got this great ability or talent, but because God has plans for you. And the more we turn our lives and our plans and our dreams and our visions over to God, the more likely we're going to know we're on the right path. The story of Jesus begins with water, the waters of baptism. And water is a pretty powerful reminder. We cannot live without water. Every morning or whenever you take your shower, that can be an opportunity to remember that message. I belong to God. God can cleanse me of my deepest sins. God can make a way where there is no way. Every time you take a drink of water, you have to have it to survive. You can remember God can move in you. God can take you through anything. Water. Isn't it amazing that God uses water to help us remember? So as we receive communion today, this font is here, and I invite you as you come forward just to use this water as a way to enter into this new year, this new day, this new opportunity, remembering who you are and whose you are. You can just put your hands in it, you can make the sign of the cross on your forehead, you can just wash your hands in it, anything that makes sense to you to help you remember who you are. There are blessings that come to us every day, not because of a changing calendar, but because of you send to us, so simple, water. It's something that crosses our path every single day. We just pray you'll help us to pay attention to your presence in our lives, in our world, as we move through everything that we have to move through and work through and get through and figure out. But you'll just help us have that one message.